And I know there was a lot of work that went into that. A lot of work into practicing and the instruments and then putting it all together. And praise the Lord for that. And to be able to lift up the Lord. Lift up the Lord at this time of Christmas and thank God for that. Also want to thank the Johnsons for all their work in directing traffic and setting up times to practice. You know, it's kind of like herding cats. You know, everybody's here and there and has their own schedules and is like, all right, everybody, can we come together so that we can do this? But I want to thank you again for being a part of that. So there is no junior church today, so I apologize if you're a small child, all right, and you have to listen to me. I apologize to you. But we just want an opportunity to give everybody a chance to kind of sit in church and enjoy this Sunday before Christmas. I do say Merry Christmas to you, and I hope you have a great week this week. If you can make our Christmas Eve candlelight service, please come out. Again, I like the opportunity just to, I mean, at that point, what are you going to do, right? At 6 o'clock on Wednesday night, what are you going to do to prepare? You'd have a chance to just let the rest of it go, and you can just come and sit and be still, hold a candle, sing Silent Night, and think about the Lord. And it is a blessed time to be able to do that. Luke chapter 2 this morning. It would help if I was getting with Brother Johnson and see all the scripture he read. He barely left me anything to preach out of on the Christmas story. He read pretty much all of it. There'll be a couple verses, though, that he left out and that I'm going to work in this morning. I should have told him to leave out the other chunk, and it would have been fresh. It would have been fresh to you. But Luke chapter 2, and we're actually going to start reading in verse number 21. So Luke chapter 2, we're going to start reading this morning in verse number 21. The Bible says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." Let's skip down to verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." Skip down to verse 36, if you would. Continuing, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher, and was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant," and that's the instant where Simeon was holding up the child and prophesying, "gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Let's ask the Lord to pray. Let's ask the Lord to bless the message this morning. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness to us and your kindness. Lord, thank you for the beautiful music that we heard. And Lord, just the stillness of it and the Christmas story that is involved here. Lord, thank you for sending your son to die for us. And Lord, I just pray that you would calm and still the hearts of the listeners and myself as well. And Lord, that we could just glean from your word what you'd have for us. And Lord, thank you again for your son. Thank you for your kindness to us and salvation as a free gift. And Lord, we want to thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 2, of course, where we picked up here in verse number 21, is after the famous part of the Christmas story, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And going to Bethlehem and being there and having the baby and wrapping the baby in swaddling clothes and lying him in a manger, and the story of no room in the inn and the shepherds that were there, and the heavens open and an angel speaks, and then a host of the Lord come down and say great things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the shepherds, in their curiosity, they go and they say, let's find this baby, this child, Jesus. And they do that. And then here, we find it to be 8 days later. 8 days later, and they're coming into the temple to keep the Old Testament law, Jewish law, and to abide by those things for the child Jesus. And we just see all the things that are involved in this Christmas story. And the birth of Jesus Christ was a miracle. It was a miracle from God. And one thing that separates the Bible from other religious books is prophecy. It sets the Bible apart from all the rest. Why? Because the foretelling of future events is done in the Scriptures over and over and over again. And from Genesis chapter 12 to Isaiah chapter number 11, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament of a Christ that was going to be born from the lineage of Abraham and from the lineage of David. In Micah chapter 5, the Bible talks about this Christ was going to be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah chapter number 7 talks about the child being born of a virgin. And that's not young maiden, that's a virgin. All right, that's what the Bible says, born of a virgin. In Numbers, it tells us that a star would come from Jacob. And all of these things unify together into the birth of one man, and that man's Jesus. All these prophecies of the Old Testament, 50 plus prophecies in the Old Testament about the birth of Christ, written over 1,500 years by 30 different authors, completed 400 years before the birth of this Jesus. And all come true about one man. The birth of Jesus was no normal birth. It was a divine birth. God's hand was upon the birth and the situation. It's been said, it's written in a book called Science Speaks by Peter Stoner, that he was a mathematician and astronomer and a professor. He died in 1980, and he wrote this book, and he figured that if 8 prophecies in the Old Testament about one man could be true, the odds of that would be 10 to the 17th power. Say, what is that? It sounds like a lot. I'm not the mathematician. but that is 1 in 100 quadrillion chances. 100 quadrillion, that's somewhere around our government's debt, right? What is it? Huge, big, big numbers. To kind of put that into perspective, they said that if you take the state of Texas, all right, which again, for us, is roughly almost four times the size of Washington, all right, the area of Texas. If you were to cover the state of Texas 2 feet deep with silver dollars, and you were to mark one of those silver dollars, and then you blindfold a man, and you let him, I guess, wander his way through coins. It's the only way to kind of make sense. He has to wander his way through, blindfolded, through the entire state of Texas, and stop wherever he wants, and find one coin, and pick it up. If that were to be the marked coin, those are the odds of 8 prophecies written about one man coming true. The Bible is more than just a religious book. The Bible is a history book. The Bible is a divine book. The Bible is a book about God and man and how God deals with man. If you're into science and math, there's plenty of it in the Scriptures to prove that God is who He said He is. And we can open this book with assurance of what it says. And here in our text, we are 8 days removed from the birth of Jesus and him being laid in the manger. And Simeon in verse 25, chapter 2 and verse 25, is told of the Lord to go to the temple. And when he goes to the temple, he sees Jesus. And you know what he does? He says he's filled with the Holy Spirit and God is moving in him. He doesn't quote any of the prophecies about the birth of Jesus. He doesn't quote any of those. He does quote Scripture. He quotes Scripture and prophesies about the life of Jesus. Amen. Not just his birth, but about his life and the purpose of his coming. And in verse 30 and 31, he says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." That's a quote from Isaiah 52. And then in verse 32, the Bible says, "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." That's from Isaiah 42, that he was going to be a light to the Gentiles, not just to his own people. In verse 36, we see the woman Anna. And she is a prophetess. She is also able through the Lord to predict accurately things that are going to happen. And she is here, and in verse 38, when she comes into the temple and she sees the child, she doesn't say, "Oh, there's the child. There's that one that was talked about in the Old Testament." You know what she does? She says, "And spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Who would have known, as Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joseph would have walked into the temple with a baby, probably like other babies, at 8 days to have the child circumcised according to Jewish tradition? How would anyone know that one baby amongst others would be have anything to do with salvation or light or redemption? But they did. Shown of the Lord, they said, this is not a normal birth. The birth of Jesus is about more than babies. It's about more than gifts. It's about more than coming to church twice a year. We used to call those C&Es. You know what that means? Christmas and Easter. It's the only two times some people come to church. It's more than just coming to church on the big days. It's more than just celebrating the events of Christ. Christmas and the birth of Christ is about God sending salvation. Amen. And sending light and sending redemption through his Son. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, "The angel spake to Joseph and said, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Anna says, "If you've been looking for redemption, I found the child. I found the child." In Hebrews 10, the Bible says, "When he cometh into the world, he saith, a body thou hast prepared for me." When Jesus Christ, as the Word, part of the eternal Godhead, came to this earth, he said, "Thou hast prepared a body for me." And in Philippians chapter number 2, the Bible says, talking about Jesus, he says, "He was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." It's why he came. 33 and a half years later from the story here in Luke 2, Jesus Christ would hang on that cross. And he would be beaten and bloodied, and he would hang there for the sins that he did not commit, but sins that you and I commit willingly. He would hang on that cross for those sins. And God revealed to Simeon and to Anna what was so special about this baby. They couldn't have known outside of the Lord telling them, but they prophesied not about his birth, but they prophesied about what was to come. What was to come in his life. And I'd like to look at those three things this morning. I'd first like to look at what Anna said in verse 38. to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Looking for redemption. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says of Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ can be for you and I. He can be our wisdom. He can be our righteousness, so we don't have to rely on our own. He can be sanctification. That's a setting apart unto God. Setting apart different from the world, but setting apart unto God and unto himself, and redemption. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. What was that? That's the cross. The cross of Calvary. Even the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. We have that in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you get your sins forgiven outside of Christ? How do you get your sins forgiven outside of Jesus? Do good? How's that going to work? I've sinned, so instead of that, I'll do something positive. The problem is we still have the sin. We didn't go anywhere. We didn't get forgiveness by being good. That didn't happen. We're going to keep the commandments. Is that going to give us forgiveness of sin? If we are, which ones are we going to keep? There's a lot of them in there. Which ones? Probably the ones we don't commit, right? If we can just keep those ones. Are we going to go to church? That's going to give us forgiveness of sins? I'm certainly glad you're here this morning, but walking through those doors and sitting down and listening to the music and listening to me up here, that doesn't give us forgiveness of sin. To get our sins forgiven, we can't do anything. Redemption is offered as a free gift from God through Jesus Christ. And it started in a manger. And he grew in stature and wisdom and lived a life that we couldn't live. That's why he was born in the likeness of sinful flesh, because he didn't sin. He committed himself unto God, and being born of the Holy Spirit of God, he refused. Why? So that he could be the perfect sacrifice. He could be a payment that we can't pay. If something were to happen and somebody gave me an option to die for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope I would not recant my faith if that ever happened. But my death couldn't be a substitute for anybody. Because I'm a sinner just like you. We're all on the same level ground. But Jesus Christ was not. Jesus Christ was sent of God. He was sent to be redemption. To be redemption for you and I. Simeon says in verse 32, he says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He was sent to be a light. And he was sent to be a light to the Gentiles. The Bible says he was sent to his own people, the Jews, and they didn't receive him. They received him not. And in doing so, when he died, that light was given to all and was given to us as Gentiles. John says this. He said of Jesus, he was that true light, that true light. Luke says this later about Jesus. He visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness. Sit in darkness. Jesus said of himself, he said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. This world and the sin of this world and our own carnality, you know what it does? It blinds us to the light that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your finger here in Luke if you would, but turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Christmas is a wonderful time. Actually, that reminds me of the song. It's actually the most wonderful time of the year, is what the song would say. It's a wonderful time. It's a beautiful time. Why? We can think of a child and the innocence of a baby. And, I mean, you have to have a pretty cold heart to not see a young newborn child and just think of the purity and the innocence. And maybe, you know, I still like to hold babies every once in a while as long as I can give them back. But to be able to hold those, children, and to be able to, and to look at them at the very light of innocence in their eyes, and just to see them looking around. John chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Look at verse 17. "For God sent not his Son into the world." That's what we're talking about, right? Born as a child to be raised and have a purpose. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation." He's explaining what that condemnation is. "That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." The option to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, accepting what he has already done for us. That Christ, that salvation that was offered when he hung on the cross, the Bible account says that it was dark. Supernaturally dark in the middle of the day. Not like 4:30 here, in the middle of the day. Like from noon to 3. It was dark. Darkness. The contrast of that. The contrast of the light of the world hanging on the cross, shedding his blood for you and I. And here on earth, the lights were out. It was darkness. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the light, and our sin that we commit and that we're born into is a darkness. Amen. And the closer we get to the Lord Jesus Christ and the light of that truth, boy, the darker we look. The darker in sin that our heart looks. But he was offered as that light. He was offered to be a light, to be an answer, to give us the truth in a dark world trying to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And back in Luke chapter 2, in verse number 30, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 30, Simeon says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. With the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ, God offers salvation to every man. As the verse says, it is God's salvation. "I have seen thy salvation." As the Lord prays unto heaven, unto the Lord, he says, "I've seen thy salvation." Amen. How egotistical of mankind to think that we can dictate to God what is salvation or what he must accept as righteousness. Doesn't that seem off a little bit? Doesn't it seem that man coming up with our own ways and man saying, "I think this is how it should operate, and I think God's going to have to accept me because of fill in the blank." Many religions tell you, "Well, just do this thing. Just keep that law." just get wet by whatever means of baptism. Just eat this and you can have eternal salvation. Simeon says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He wasn't looking at a baptismal pool. He wasn't looking at some church. He wasn't looking at a wafer or at the law. You know what he was looking at? He was looking at the child Jesus. He said, I've seen thy salvation. It was tangible to him. And for you and I, we need to believe it by faith. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 says, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. I'm not here to sell anybody anything this morning. I have nothing to gain from it. We're not getting membership. We're not getting your money. We're not getting any of that. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Listen, you and I, we need redemption from sin. We need the light from the darkness that is in this life. We need salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And at this time here, at the Christmas season, the birth of Christ, and just 8 days later, Mary and Joseph bring in the baby, and Simeon and Anna say, oh, look at that child. You know what? You know what we know about that child? We know what is to come. And what is to come is the offer of salvation. Light to those in darkness and redemption from sin. Paul says to Timothy, he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to establish a religion. No, that's not what the Bible says. To give people comfort. That's not what the Bible says. I'm glad he's a comfort. But it's not what the Bible says. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if we're honest with ourselves, we all qualify. We all qualify as sinners going against God's law. And the Lord knows that. The condemnation is not receiving that light. Amen. The condemnation is not receiving the Son of God, Amen. The only begotten of God. As we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Lord, would you not only recognize His birth, but also receive His death? And His resurrection for eternal life. That's the most important part of this Christmas story. It's not that the baby was born, but that He lived and died for you and I. Amen. And when Easter comes along, you know what we celebrate? We celebrate His resurrection. Amen. We celebrate a supernatural birth of a Savior sent for you and I. And at Easter, we celebrate a supernatural resurrection of that same Jesus coming out of the grave, proving that He was who He said He was. Ron Hamilton, he wrote this in one of his songs. It's the chorus. He wrote, born to die upon Calvary. Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary. He was wounded that I might live. That was the purpose. He was born so that one day He would die for you and I. What a blessing. Amen. If you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, man, this is the greatest time of the year to think about what He did for us. The very beginning of God from heaven, leaving the throne and all of His glories, Amen. And coming down and taking upon Himself the form of a servant. And putting Himself down and humbling Himself so that He could die for you and I. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. If you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've never received what He has done for you, today could be a day of light. It could be a day of redemption. It could be a day of salvation. Amen. The most important decision you could ever make in your life. Yeah. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Him? Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. If a piano player would come and just play a little bit on the piano, I want us just to take an opportunity to bow our heads and to be able to pray, if you so choose, unto the Lord. Just use it as a moment of quietness, a moment of stillness, to thank the Lord for sending His Son. Thank the Lord for salvation and light and redemption. Maybe you take a moment just to pray for someone that might be lost, someone that you know, someone you've been trying to witness to or give a gospel tract to or talk to them about the Lord. That the Lord would use this time of year to soften their hearts and to open up their minds to the gospel. As I mentioned, if you're here and there's never been a time in your life where you know that you've personally chosen Jesus Christ and received Him as your Savior, if there's never been a time you've done that, you can do that this morning. Doesn't have to be a big public thing, but it needs to come from your heart by faith to receive the Savior of the world that was sent from God for you. December 21st could be the day of salvation for you if you've never received Him. There's no magic words in prayer. There's nothing that needs to be done other than bowing your heart and your pride and saying, Lord, I need a Savior. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Would you receive Him today? Lord, thank you so much for this time of year. Thank you, Lord, for the Christmas story, the celebration of the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. What it means for us for salvation and what it means for us that have put our faith in the Scriptures and the surety of salvation according to your word. Thank you for the peace and the comfort that it does give. And thank you that although many things can be going on in life and many things that make us busy at this time of year, that we can just take a moment and say thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for receiving us as your children. Thank you for the promise of eternal life. Lord, that we could be a witness and a testimony in these days and these times to represent your Son and to call anyone who's lost in darkness, call them to that light at the cross of Calvary. Lord, I pray that you'd bless today. Lord, bless those that put forth the time and the effort, Lord, to give us the song and the music. Lord, I ask that you bless those that are going to be spending time with family today and doing those things, Lord, in this week as Christmas Day comes upon us. Lord, that we would just take a moment to say thank you and remember what this is all about. Lord, we ask that you bless and you'd bless with health and, Lord, you'd bless in many ways. You bless our families and our church and, Lord, those that are striving to live according to your word and help us to tackle this new year upcoming with a new fervor to to serve you until you come back. Lord, our prayer is even so, come, Lord Jesus. But until then, help us to be faithful. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen.